You are listening to Star Wars Action News, your weekly source for Star Wars collecting, hosted by Marjorie and Arnie. Each week we discuss collecting news and review items from fishing rods to Millennium Falcons. Listen to find out what's worth your money and what isn't. This week on Star Wars Action News, we have a store report by Scott from Tulsa. Be sure to visit our website, swactionnews.com, where you can see pictures of the items reviewed, listen to past episodes, and find out more about our show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Star Wars Action News.
Today is Monday, March 24th, 2008, and you're listening to Star Wars Action News, the first springtime edition. Because it's finally spring, but we're still getting snow, which sucks.
Yeah, we went out the other morning and birds were singing.
Yeah, and now it's going
to
snow.
That reminds me of my college days when I used to game all night and then realize that it's too late to go to sleep because the birds are singing and I'll never get up before my class.
And that's why you met me after college. A lot of girls didn't go to that, huh?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just got the Scooby-Doo voice there. Yeah, Shaggy! I want to say, coming up a little later in the show, we have a truly awesome report from the Ginger Prince, Steve. He's over in the UK, but he went to JediCon in Dusseldorf, Germany, talked to Steve Sansweet, has some pretty big rumor news regarding Celebration 5, Celebration Japan, and some other items. So be sure to listen to that at the end of the show, and he'll be telling you how you can win one of the JediCon exclusive Shadow Trooper figures. Big week for Star Wars. We found out the live action series pushed back another year.
Woohoo! Oh, wait. Oh, I'm not supposed to be cheering.
No. It'll never happen. Never happen.
Doesn't it have characters in it that we've never heard of before?
Yeah, you know, those minor characters like Boba Fett.
Oh, no, I thought it had like people, just like second string people.
It's supposed to be mostly all new characters, but Boba Fett will be involved, and
he's going to make a cameo?
I don't know if he's going to make the cameo.
Have a two-episode story arc, and then he goes away?
Maybe it's like The Apprentice, only it's the Bounty Hunter Apprentice, and he's the Donald of the show.
That really doesn't make sense, but we'll move on. I did find a lot in stores this week.
That's always nice.
It is. I went shopping in St. Louis all day and had a great time. And I found some really cool stuff. I went to a comic book store. If you live in St. Louis, check out Star Clipper in the Del Mar Loop. It's a pretty nice comic store. It's not your typical greasy guy, leaving with a paper bag kind of comic book store. It's a nice, clean, I guess, upscale, kind of yuppie comic book store, which is maybe why I enjoyed it so much.
What's wrong with greasy comic book stores? I've spent many a dollar at a greasy comic book store.
I know. This place was spacious. It was huge. And they had a lot of newer things and not so many old things. Like the Archie comics and, you know, the really old stuff. They had also Kotobukiya stuff.
Which ones?
They had the Kneeling Vader that goes in the middle of the Bounty Hunter series.
That's not the Vader that goes in the middle of the Bounty Hunting series. That's the other Vader. The Vader that goes in the middle of the Bounty Hunting series is a Build-A-Vader. You get a piece of that Vader, and he's standing with his arm in, like,
well, they
a
have
pose.
A Vader Kodo.
Okay.
Then they had some Gentle Giant of the classic busts. The little tiny busts without arms.
Yes, the classic busts. Bigger than a bust up.
Yeah.
So
they're like the...
They're like 4 inches.
Mini bust up-y kind of thing. I don't
bust,
know.
Mini bust classic. I think.
Yeah.
Or otherwise known as oversized chess pieces.
Yeah. They also had a lot of things from different lines. They had a lot of Battlestar Galactica. What I really liked that they had was a lot of Mario stuff, and they had a lot of Japanese things. But they also had a decent-sized Star Wars section with some Star Wars Titaniums.
I think we're going to be adding that place to the rotation because they have so many foreign items. Did they have any Kubricks of any kind?
I did not see any Kubricks. I thought you couldn't sell those in the States legally.
No, you can't sell them wholesale in the States legally. It's not like cocaine or Cuban cigars.
Yeah, I did not see any Kubricks. But wait, you can't sell cocaine anyway, even...
In the States.
You can't usually sell in other countries either.
All right, let's talk about the Titaniums you found.
This is Wave 2 of the 2008 releases for the Titanium ships. I found Luke Skywalker's Red 5 X-Wing, which, you know, they had the X-Wings before. They've all been repainted.
I can't even tell for sure if this is a repaint. I'd have to go and look at all my other X-Wings to see, because we've gotten X-Wings. The very first ship released in the Titanium series was an X-Wing. You've gotten X-Wings in the multi-packs and everything, but this one has a sharp, sharp paint job.
Well, I wonder, how do we know it's Luke's? Does it have a little license plate on it?
There are very slightly different paint appliques depending upon the ship designation. And also the droid. Is that R2 in the socket?
No, it is a generic gray color droid.
Oh, that does hurt it a little, because Red 5 would have R2 in the socket.
It would. So to me, this just looks like an X-Wing in a box that's labeled Luke Skywalker's X-Wing.
But it has a very sharp paint job. I'm liking the combination of yellow and gray on the nose for a $5-ish item. It's really good. Now, because you bought these at Star Clipper, we did pay a premium of $8 a piece. And I'm sure
we're
going to
be... But these are hit or miss. That's the thing.
We'll see them. You know, that's the key of paying $8, is now we're guaranteed to see them for $5. But X-Wing in the hand. You're right. That is just a...
It's a generic gray droid.
Gray droid. There's absolutely no detail on R2. I'm now less impressed with the paint job due to that fact.
Now, I did find the Force Unleashed Titanium. It's the Rogue Shadow, which is the starfighter of Vader's secret apprentice.
You know, this secret apprentice ain't so secret. We know what ship he flies.
Yeah.
We know what action figures he has.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we know about him before the game is out, like a year before the game is out.
Now, I'm no physicist or aviation expert, but I think that this ship would be flying in a circle. Look at the wings. You've got one big giant wing and then two small wings on the other side with a big split down the middle. I think this guy's doing donuts in space.
If he were a boat, maybe. But in space, there's no such thing as drag.
Yeah,
there's nothing
to
make it a circle. There is absolutely no reason for a ship to be aerodynamic in any way in space.
To fly.
There's no drag in space.
But wouldn't you just keep going down and down and sink into oblivion and get sucked up by...
No, there's no down in space. There's no up in space.
So why do they bother building things the way they are? You have to have something. Okay. It has the jet-propelled system, I assume. Some sort of propulsion system.
Ion or jet or nuclear
some
or something.
Some sort of propulsion system. If your wings are all screwy, that jet propulsion system is going to make you fly screwy, because that's what's pushing you. So if you've got all ghettoed up wings, you're going to be flying all over crazy. You're not going to be able to land or anything.
The only reason that would matter is if there was drag caused by air.
But I think... Now, let's think about this, though.
Do you know Einstein's principle?
I think we ought to just stop this conversation, because...
An object in motion stays in motion.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
So, in space, it's kind of like in Armageddon, where she tells the guy if she kicks him in the groin, he'll just keep on going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen with this ship. You don't even need an engine. You just need a burst, and then you will keep going until there's some kind of reverse.
But that has to have some sort of something on it. And how about when they land on a planet?
Admittedly, in a planet, this might not be the best, but...
They're going to grow all screwy.
That's assuming that the engines are on the side. These look just like solar panels. Perhaps the engine is right in the middle of the back. In fact, I think it is. In atmosphere, it would take a lot of propulsion and a lot of durability to withstand this kind of design.
It's got a big split down the middle.
It does have a big split down the middle, kind of like a Jedi starfighter, because that's
worse.
The cockpit in the middle.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rogue Shadow, it's black, hence the shadow.
The shadow theme.
Here's the description from the back. An advanced prototype starship, the Rogue Shadow is the personal transport of Darth Vader's secret apprentice. It was produced in absolute secrecy, and many of the craftsmen and droids who built it met their end in tragic industrial accidents or shockingly violent street crimes. The vessel boasts an advanced hyperdrive, cutting-edge sensory arrays, and the fastest sublight engines in the Imperial fleet. The ship's most impressive feature, however, is its experimental cloaking device. The Rogue Shadow's pilot, the beautiful Juno Eclipse, was handpicked by Vader himself to transport his apprentice across the galaxy on countless sinister missions.
I found yet another titanium. I found the Mon Calamari Star Cruiser.
It's lumpy.
It is the ugliest ship I think I've ever seen. It's so... ugh. That's the only way I can describe it. It looks like it's got tumors on it.
This is what a Mal Calamari starship looks like. Well, it does kind of look aquatic, which makes sense.
That's because it's got the same tail as that ship that they flew out of.
The Bongo?
Yeah.
It does have a similar tail to a Bongo. I can't deny that.
Are the Mon Calamari a water people?
Yes.
Okay.
And they share a planet with the Quarren. We can rewatch the Clone Wars and you can get all of the Mon Calamari Quarren history.
See, the problem with the Clone Wars, why it was perfect for me, because I do have a short attention span, I then forgot all of it because I didn't watch it all at once, which I know I can cure now, but...
It's an okay ship. You know, I think this is the first time they've done the Mon Cal, and, you know, it's...
Wait, is that what the kids are calling it? The Mon Cal?
The Mon Cal, yeah. And... It's nice to have yet another ship to round out my fleet. And what is the final titanium you bought?
One you were very excited for. I know this was things you've been waiting for. The Podracer series of titaniums.
I said, I think several times last year, where are the Podracers? Now we got them.
And you're not impressed.
It looks like poodoo.
The first one I found was Anakin's Podracer.
It's the only one released so far, so it's not the first one you found. It's the first one everyone will find.
I wasn't sure.
The packaging's kind of cool because it has his Podracer nacelles on the side.
They do put good packaging on the titaniums because they incorporate the ship into the cardboard inserts.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with it is, I guess, physics, because you need something to hold the pods up from the cockpit. And in the movie, you know, it was just the ropes because everything was able to defy gravity. So to combat the problem of physics and gravity, the ropes that hold, or whatever they are, the chains that hold the cockpit onto the pods, they have a clear plastic piece.
Trapezoid.
Yeah, like a cutoff triangle with the top cut off, holding them together.
The Podracer itself. I'll start with the best features. I'm going to accentuate the positive. On the pod engines themselves, there's a really good paint detail applique. On the tips of the yellow vents or flobies or whatever these are, there's a blue crisscross pattern, and that looks kind of nice. I'm just, when I see detail on a small titanium ship that I don't remember from the movie or the other toys, I consider that a really good paint job. The energy beam that connects it, I think they called it the power coupling that Jar Jar's tongue went numb in. It is a lot like the blaster bolts they had for the guns on the 3¾-inch figures with it's that like transparent plastic.
The jelly-looking plastic.
It's a little too cylindrical for my taste. I would prefer it to be a little bit more wiry instead of just a bar. But you would think that if they had a bar like that, they could then create a beam that would keep this aloft without the big plastic triangle in the middle. But the plastic triangle in the middle is its downfall, and that's where you put the stand. So it's going to be quite obvious that the stand is going to someplace that shouldn't even exist on the ship. And then you've got the power cables that go up to the cockpit area. The cockpit area, it's kind of too dark gray. It's a little bit, I'm not really caring for the blue, and you can barely see the Anakin logo on it. How did Anakin get a logo? Did he go down to the Tatooine branding advertising agency and I need a logo? I'm not quite getting that either. There's no controls in there, really. You don't have a person. Why wouldn't you put Anakin in this? You put a stormtrooper on a dewback. You put an Ewok on a speeder bike. Why wouldn't you put Anakin in the pod?
Because no one likes Anakin from episode one. Yippee! Need I say more?
Now, this wave of titaniums does come with two others. There's a Slave One, and I can't find confirmation on this, but I strongly believe that Slave One is a re-release of the previous Slave One. If anything, it's just yet another repaint on Slave One. And also, if you're into the Battlestar Galactica ships, shipping in this case is the Battlestar Galactica Viper Mark 7.
I did find one other titanium at a Toys R Us. In St. Louis, again, because they seem to be getting toys and we're not. It was one that we skipped on before, not by our choice, because a little boy had grabbed it and he wanted it because it's the closest to a blue one he could find. And he had a huge armful of Star Wars toys.
Must have been his birthday.
But we got Plo Koon's Jedi Starfighter, which, hello, Mace, he's stealing your stuff. Plo Koon has a purple theme. What is
However,
up with that?
You can't complain about it. It was in the movie. It was in episode 3.
Was it purple?
Yes. Purplish blue.
This is very clearly purple, though. It's not purplish blue.
It is.
But it kind of looks like he's got a tie-dye design, so maybe Plo Koon is kind of the hippie Jedi, and maybe he's stuck in the 60s.
So you think that that air mask he has is for
his
all
herbs.
His whippets?
His herbs. Hippies don't do whippets.
This one comes with its hyperspace ring.
It also has an opening cockpit. cockpit.
It took them long enough to make us a titanium hyperspace ring, and now they're just putting it in all willy-nilly with every Episode 2 era-shaped ship.
Why not? It's purple.
It is very purple.
It is.
I don't like the fact that the hyperspace ring is purple. I realize it matches better than if they'd just done red, but in Episode 2, when Obi-Wan Kenobi leaves Coruscant, he goes into space, and there's a whole series of red rings.
See, and I'm worried about ownership of those. I mean, are they just there? Are they put out there by the government? Anyone can use them? Do you have to buy a hyperspace ring? I'm curious.
Does the car rental agent walk around the hyperspace ring with you to make sure there's no scratches or dents that weren't there when you took it?
I mean, I wonder these things. Doesn't anyone else? I seriously wonder, I'm like, is that his? What's he doing? How can he know which one to take? What if someone has a similar one as you? I mean, are there license plates on them or some kind of number? And how are you going to check that in space? I perhaps have way too much to worry about.
I'm sure that it was his ring, and it emits a transponder code so that his ship tells him, this is your ring.
What if your friend wants to borrow it?
Then you give them the transponder code and the key.
I don't know. I'm not buying that.
I think
there's a bunch of confusion, and there's a lot of people standing around, but, well, I don't know which one's mine.
Now, you also found some items at a Walmart in St. Louis.
I did. I found the Sith Legacy Evolutions Pack, which has the infamous shirtless Darth Maul, which is, I really don't like it. It's a horrible figure. The colors are all wrong.
Darth Maul was red, but he was bright red. He was like...
He was crimson. Not even crimson. He was apple red.
He was Ferrari red.
Yeah.
And this figure is maroon like my 1970s Lincoln.
Yeah, not so good.
He is shirtless.
Yes, I said that.
And I think there's even waist articulation because you can see right above the abs where there's a little ledge to the chest. So I
and
think
he's wearing
he's
his
super
pants
articulated.
Kind of at a cocky angle, like he thinks he's sassy.
Well, he does. He's got this look on his face.
Like he's going to disembowel you?
It's hysterical. It's like over-accentuated anger.
Yeah.
Darth Maul was known for his stoicism. He was never known for his, I'm going to stick out my lower jaw and burn my eyes into you. It's like frustrated Darth Maul. He's staring at the back of your head and you're going to know. And he's going to make that face in the back of your head and just stare.
It's not waist articulation. It's diaphragm articulation. It's way high up on him.
It is high up.
So unless he's wearing his pants like an 80-year-old man in Florida, it's not waist articulation.
Also, his arm tattoos, I think the tattoo artist got a little bored.
Yeah.
Because it's more like stripes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tribal pattern all over the stomach and chest, but when it came to the arms, just stripes.
We also have Darth Bane with a very flowing plastic robe and soft goods also, which I don't like the mix of them like that.
I'm okay with it.
Now, I have a question. I don't know who the crap Darth Bane is. What's with his chest?
Okay, Darth Bane was the Sith who created the Order of Two. And so Darth Bane took the Sith underground and came up with the Rule of Two, and Darth Bane had an apprentice who 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 was Darth Plagueis, who then had the apprentice Darth
Sidious. So did he kill all the apprentices in between?
Well, he was probably killed by his apprentice, and then the next one. There's two books about Darth Bane.
Okay, I just asked you what's up with this chest.
Oh, no, you asked who he was first.
Yeah, but what's up with this chest? It's light bright.
Darth Bane wears obsolisk armor. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. And it actually grows all over him. And when it grows over his face, it could suffocate him and die. And there are pieces in the package that will put the mask on his hands and head. I don't know why it's kind of neon green, though.
It's green and yellow. It's kind of weird.
It is odd. This isn't how I pictured the character, even from the book covers. He looks a lot like Dracula.
He does have a very pale to greenish face.
Eyeshadow.
And he's wearing guyliner.
Eyeliner, yes.
Guyliner.
It's the collar.
He's got like a Vincent Price collar on his coat. He's got two collars. He's so scary.
It's kind of Vincent Price. It's kind of Liberace.
It's kind of Bela Lugosi also. Yeah.
It's very Dracula.
It is very Dracula. I'm not sure I like that molded cloak like that. It's just, and it's purple. I don't know. I don't know anything about him. So I'm judging him from not knowing who this man is.
And I think that a lot of people do know and a lot of people don't. It's kind of one of those things with EU. But there are two books out about him as well as some comics. And the third figure.
I can't say his name.
Darth Nihilus from Knights of the Old Republic, the video game. This is the perfect figure to go along with your previous Darth Malak and Darth Revan. He has the mask. I believe that mask was the cover of Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords. That ties in very tightly with Bane in that they were around the same era.
Oh, it says here Darth Bane was 1,000 years before the Battle of Yavin.
1,000 years, so I guess they weren't around the same era. I thought they were.
It doesn't say when Darth N is.
Darth Nihilus was 4,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, I do believe.
Nope, Darth Nihilus is after Bane.
Nihilus is after Bane? I thought the...
I'll read you what it says. The menacing Sith emerge again and again through the centuries, teaching each generation their dark secrets. 1,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, Darth Bane brings the Sith Order back from near extinction in his quest to reclaim their glory. His legacy is carried on by Darth Nihilus, who blights whole worlds in his desire to destroy the Jedi. Darth Maul serves as a power-hungry Sith Lord who plots elimination of the Jedi. He gets, like, no love there. But why aren't they in order in the package, then? That annoys me! They should be in chronological order!
Actually, you should like it because it's symmetrical. The big guy is in the middle because his robes make him very large. And the two skinny
It needs to be chronological. Size does not play into this one. It needs to be chronological.
I could have sworn the Knights of the Old Republic video game was 4,000 years before. I need to Wookiee that. Okay, I feel vindicated because it says in Wikipedia.com, Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords, take place 4,000 years before A New Hope. So if Darth Bane is 1,000 years before A New Hope, then Bane is after that.
But that's not what it says on the package. Would you like to read it? I think the package is wrong then, or else Wikipedia is wrong.
Wikipedia wouldn't lie to me. It loves me. It says that Darth Bane was born 1,000 years before A New Hope.
Maybe they got the Darth screwed up.
They must have, because it does say his legacy is carried on by Darth Nihilus, but Darth Nihilus existed thousands of years before Darth Bane. Yeah, he died 3,951 years before the Battle of Yavin.
My guess is they flip-flopped the Darths on the back then in the text. Well, that wouldn't even be correct, because you said it's 4,000 years. This says 8,000 years.
Darth Bane was 1,000 years. Bane was after Darth Nihilus.
Then I have no idea what they're thinking there, then. Oh, well. Well, I'll talk about Darth Nihilus' figure, though. His figure is a mixture of soft and hard plastic. His undergarments are the soft cloth variety. Not loving it, because it kind of goes out at weird angles, don't you think, Arnie?
The soft good one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks kind of foul in the crotchular region.
Yeah, it's not good. He does have a good mask, and he comes with a red lightsaber. It is a hood-up figure, though, and the hood is plastic. It is not soft goods.
The next evolution pack you found is the Fett Legacy.
It's a whole bunch of Fets. Actually, just two. I was disappointed in this one.
Now, these are all new molds.
How many new Boba Fets did we get this year? Or last year.
Let's start with the original trilogy. We have Boba Fett. This figure right here in my hot little hand, if this figure had come out a year and a half ago, I would never have bought a single titanium figure. The titanium forged ones.
Why?
What got me into buying those titanium forged figures when it first started was the fact that Boba Fett had a removable helmet, and they'd never made a 3¾-inch scale removable helmet Boba Fett, and since they were doing it in titanium, I don't know what I was thinking that they wouldn't eventually do it in plastic.
Yeah, I don't know what you were thinking either.
But I felt I must have the removable helmet Boba Fett since I didn't have one.
So can we sell all those now?
No, because they ended up making some pretty nice ones right as the line was canceled. That 3PO rocks. But now they have removable helmet Boba Fett in plastic instead of metal. He comes with his carbine. My carbine's a little bent. Bent to the left a bit.
It is, but I think if you got it out of the plastic, release the pressure on it.
It would still be bent because they're made from such crappy rubber.
It also comes with Attack of the Clones Jango Fett, which is the craziest pose ever because it looks like he's dancing around and shooting his guns in the air.
It does. It reminds me of a Wild cowboy, West guy.
Yeah. Woo!
Shooting the guns in the air.
Come on, little doggies.
Or like the Three Amigos.
Yeah, it does definitely look like that.
And my problem with both of those first two, Boba Fett's paint is a little bit muted. He's not very colorful.
It's kind of washed out.
But Jango Fett, he must have looked at Plo Koon's titanium starfighter and said, I got to get me some purple.
Yeah, he's ready to go to the disco.
I thought that Jango Fett's outfit was always more blue.
I thought it was too, and that's why I was really liking the mini bust of Jango Fett, because it was such a pretty blue. Actually, we painted our bedroom that color. I just realized that.
Yeah, we painted our bedroom Jango Fett blue.
Yeah, the bluish purple, huh?
But this figure is purple purple, not
yeah.
bluish
oh,
purple.
Oh yeah, he's definitely ready. He just needs some sequins.
He's going to party like it's 1999
with Prince.
In his little red Corvette.
Yeah. The last figure that we have is a generic Mandalore.
He is not generic. He is Mandalore.
I'm confused then. Would you help the Mandalorian deficient girl?
Mandalore is from Knights of the Old Republic. Again, the video game.
He's Mandalore the Indomitable. He's legendary.
Well, Mandalore is the title of the leader of the Mandalorians. In the Legacy of the Force novels, Boba Fett is Mandalore because he is the leader of the Mandalorians.
So I don't get this, how, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, because there have to be people that don't know all this stuff. Isn't the legend that Jango Fett stole his outfit from a Mandalorian?
No, Jango Fett was a Mandalorian.
Okay.
Or trained by Mandalorians and all that.
But their outfits don't look anything alike. In fact, it looks like Mandalore the Indomitable was flying on Khan's ship from Star Trek.
Okay, but that's 4,000 years earlier. The armor got upgraded in 4,000 years.
All right, that's all I wanted to know. He has his little basket weaving with him, too.
I think that's a shield.
Oh, it's kind of tiny. It's going to protect, like, his intestines.
He don't want to work. He just want to bang on the drum all day.
It looks like a basket weaving. He's been doing crafts. He's not so fearful. He's just really into his crafts and wants to make some money to support his family.
Now, did you say this was Mandalore the Indomitable?
That's what it says on the back. Now, it could be incorrect. I don't know.
Because there's also Mandalore the First, Mandalore the Ultimate.
This is Mandalore the Indomitable. And he's legend, wait for it, Dairy.
You should be thankful that this is Mandalore the Indomitable.
Oh, I am.
And not just a Mandalore.
I know, I am.
And now continuing the EU Evolutions packs full of brand spanking new figures.
I found the Evolutions Vader Secret Apprentice pack.
Now, this is interesting because what we have here is three versions of the same character.
And a very angry one in the middle. It looks like he's shaking his fist at the kids who ran through his yard.
I think he looks like either a WWE wrestler or Vega from Street Fighter 2 with the mask.
Yeah, he kind of does.
This is Darth Vader's Secret Apprentice.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh and interrupt you, but on our package, the last one with his white robes, the soft goods have flown up in his face, and it looks like his face is covered. We have no idea what his face looks like.
Well, that's because he's the Secret Apprentice. He's hiding it with the robe.
Oh, I see, I see.
And I think that's unintentional. The first figure is the Secret Apprentice, so this is how you start. But will the Secret Apprentice go light side or dark side? In a world where there's no Jedi, what choice will one man make?
Apparently, his choice is to wear brown and white.
That would be the Jedi side. The middle option is if you go dark side and become a Sith Lord.
Oh, I get it. So it's what you play in the game.
Yes, this is you.
That's cool.
If you're a semi-goth looking guy who can't decide between ultimate destruction or saving the universe. He's kind of morally ambiguous.
That's kind of neat.
It's an interesting way to do it because one of the big problems with the Knights of the Old Republic game was depending on how you built your character could look different ways, so they couldn't really make a figure of it. Here they gave you the ability to have characters that look different ways and give you all three in one package. Now, if you're buying the game The Force Unleashed months and months and months from now, there's a cheat code inside. If you still can find that piece of paper by the time the game is ultimately in your hot little hands, then you have a cheat code. I do know why they're releasing all the Force Unleashed figures now. It's because they're going to have the Clone Wars onslaught in the fall. But my God, it is such a blunder to release these now and not have a game or a book. Why wouldn't they release the book? I mean, I realize it kind of pulls the punch a little on the game, but I mean, why not release the book?
It looks like it comes with some accessories. You get lightsabers for all three figures. And the Secret Apprentice, I guess you could apply it to the others. It comes with, I guess, Force Lightning that goes around his legs and arm.
His legs? Huh. That looks like Force Lightning. It also might be some kind of shield to protect him from lightsaber attacks.
Yeah, on his ankles and shoes?
Yeah.
Do they have such a thing?
I don't know. Maybe in the game. Remember, yeah, the game?
I think it's Force Lightning. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Nobody shoots Force Lightning from their toes.
No, it's being shot at him.
We'll never know until the game is out. Then we'll know.
I guarantee it's not a shield, because why would he leave one arm without it? Because that's the most worthless shield in the world.
These are all new sculpts of figures, and I think that customizers may like these for various different bodies you could do. The Secret Apprentice, pretty generic outfit that you'd be able to repaint. The Jedi hood up. Is the hood soft goods? Can you pull it back off his head?
It is not soft goods.
Okay, so you're kind of stuck on that one, unless you can yank the whole head off and then replace the hood. I don't see a whole lot of things you can do with the Sith Lord version.
Well, and you know what's funny is he kind of looks like, have you seen that movie The Cell?
Yes.
With Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yeah, we saw it together.
He's the creepy guy in the dreams, and he's walking with the stuff attached to his back. That's what this looks like.
And ever so slightly Hellraiser-ish.
Yeah, very Hellraiser-ish. Absolutely. I agree
because he's pale, and he's wearing black leather, S&M gear.
It's kind of bondage-themed. It is, with the strappy stuff.
If you put a Chatterer head on him instead of just the Sith mask he's wearing.
It looks like he's got a really long ponytail, too.
Which is, again, very Hellraiser. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty happy with these packs. I think that the colorings could be a little better on them.
They're kind of muted.
Yeah. And especially on the Fett pack.
Yeah.
But it's been a banner week. We haven't found this much in a long time.
New figures.
We're good on Evolutions packs until the fall.
Yay, you can stop looking in that aisle.
Well, I still need one more of the Stormtrooper, Clone Trooper one. But it's a repack. I just need one more for me.
You know what? And I'll find more, obviously. Because they tend to stay on the shelves.
And now it's time for Evolutions of Star Wars Action News as we bring in our third character, Scott from Tulsa.
Hey everybody, it's Scott from Tulsa here to give you another weekly recap what I'm finding in stores and online. I apologize for being gone last week, but the creeping crud that has gone around like it just got launched from a bantha's backside hit me square in the face and I couldn't tear myself away from my snotty pillow in order to get out in the stores, let alone even look at my computer. But we're back! So first and foremost, let's start with the basic figures, and most stores are starting to see quite a few cases of the Force Unleashed figures roll in. Now let's clarify something. Juno Eclipse, black Imperial office garb, great articulation, great female army builder for you Imperial rank boosters. Maris Brood, fallen Jedi Padawan from the Force Unleashed video game, bare midriff, very goth looking. Really, really crappy articulation. Now, Juno Eclipse seems to be the peg warmer of the Forced Unleashed wave, well, at least of the new figures, because along with the Forced Unleashed wave, we have some more Spirit of Anakin figures, and what, a Wave 2 Biggs and X-Wing? I don't get it. Keep your eyes peeled, because the Forced Unleashed figures are starting to ship in mass now, and you'll see them at Walmarts, Targets, Toys R Us's, as well as all the Evolutions packs. They're appearing at StarWarsShop.com, HasbroToyShop.com, Walmart, Toys R Us, Target. They're everywhere. And, of course, the Legacy of the Jedi with the ginormous Qui-Gon Jinn, the questionable Boltar Swan, and the what-the-hell Luke. Those are the peg warmers, so if you see those, keep peeking around. You never know when you'll come across that Mandalorian or that Forced Unleashed Darth Vader's Secret Apprentice pack. Now, that Battle of Kashyyyk battle pack, which features, looky there, another Darth Vader and two more Imperial Stormtroopers, and a couple of, it looks like, the Heavy Gunner Wookiees are starting to show up. Saw them at Target. They were on sale for $17.81 or some kind of crazy price point like that, at least this past week. So if you're dying to get two more really crappy-looking Wookiees or a couple Imperial Stormtroopers and another Darth Vader, like you don't already have enough, then head over to Target and pick them up. If these things ship in mass, I see red tag written all over them. Don't really rush out. They'll pop up and you'll be able to pick them up later. I don't really think you're missing much if you miss them. Also, we're coming up on Easter, so what do you need to look for? That's right, those Target Order 66 2-packs, which Hasbro said should be coming out right around Easter. Well, I've been checking my toy aisles and also my front checkout end caps where the 2007 2-packs appeared last year, and no sign of them yet, but they do have some toys fluctuating in and out, and with the last big Easter push coming up next week, hopefully these things will pop up on the shelves and they'll clearance them out real quick so we can get them for $5 or $2 and everybody will be a happy camper, including me. Now, while the Grievous Starfighter and Clone Trooper Walker seem to be everywhere, and if I had to choose one of the two to get, and I did, I chose the General Grievous Starfighter because after Arnie's dreary review of the Clone Trooper Walker, if I need something to play with, and while I don't really play with my toys as much as display them, I still think General Grievous Starfighter is a better bet for $20, so let's lean that way. Over to Target, the Aayla Secura Starfighter, which is a very, very bland repack of the many other Starfighters we've seen, is shipping to Target, and it is a Target exclusive. Now, it's not shipping with the sticker sheet, like everybody knows, and everybody's kind of, well, no stickers. Well, Arnie, it'll save you some time. Why doesn't everybody just go to the Hasbro website and punch in the, I didn't get my sticker sheet for one of my Jedi Starfighters? I'm sure most of the sticker sheets are pretty generic. Maybe they'll just drop one in the mail for you. You want some stickers? There you go. Instant project problem solved. Well, at least until someone does it and sees that it works. I'm just throwing this out there because, well, that's what I do. And if we didn't have enough Jedi Starfighters to worry about, the repack of the Anakin Skywalker Green Jedi Starfighter is starting to appear again, and this time it's going to be over at Walmart, packed without the figure. If you remember, this was a, I believe, Toys R Us exclusive when it was packed with the Anakin, I believe, Revenge of the Sith number 2 figure thrown together, and they probably charged us, I don't know, $10 too much to start with, but now you can get just the Starfighter for you Jedi Starfighter completionist. So I think between all the repacks and repaints, this brings our Jedi Starfighter Armada up to probably about 12 or 13. I'm thinking more along the lines of 11 or 12, but still, make sure your shelves are cleared off because I see no end in these bad boys getting repacked and repainted, especially if you guys keep buying them. And speaking of more repacks and repaints and things you could probably live without, but it's such a great deal you can't pass up, if you haven't surfed over to StarWarsShop.com and checked out their bargain bin, they do have the San Diego Comic-Con 2007 exclusive Shadow Speeder bike with Speeder Trooper. It was normally $24 down to a whole $10. And if you haven't already checked it out as well, the Lucas Family 4-pack sets a mere $10 as well, where most of us paid $25. So while you're over there, pick up some things. They've got some scratch and dent items. But as far as basic figures go, those are some great prices. $10 for 4 figures and then $10 for a figure and vehicle. That's what you'd normally pay in store. Plus a little shipping. I know we've talked about it before. Bulk up, get a lot of stuff. Let's clear out that bargain bay and make room for more of the crap they can mark down coming on down the pike. For all you Galactic Heroes fans out there, the new multi-packs are popping up at Target. This is the Battle of Mustafar, and then the speeder bike chase, where it's got, I think, 3 speeder bikes and some biker scouts, and probably Luke and Leia and Endor. I didn't really take a close look at it. All I noticed is, holy crap, these new things are coming out already, and we're getting hit with the new 2-packs, like I believe Cozy talked about last week with the Aayla Secura and Bly and Gree and Bakara. So for all you Galactic Hero hunters, be patient, these things are going to hit en masse any week now. For all you Acme character key collectors, that Han Solo original trilogy key should be hitting your doorstep any day now. I got notification that mine's been sent out, and there's been word on the forums that people are seeing them pop in their mailboxes right and left. Pretty sharp item. It's still available on Acme's website for $35, limited to 1,000 pieces. If you haven't gotten into this line, yes, we didn't really see any kind of animated Han Solo in any kind of cartoon or anything like that. It's a cool little piece to get you started. And while you're at it, why don't you get the animated Boba Fett character holiday special key as well, because it's driving me crazy seeing this thing still available. And then over at Gentle Giant, man, I don't know what to say about these guys. I think they're trying to turn 2008 around, at least get us all on their good side before all the conventions start up, because their clone Obi-Wan mini bust, they've already got this thing shipping and reaching into people's hands already. I mean, I'm at a loss. I don't know what else to say. I was so anti-General Giant customer service to start 2008, and doing this olive branch of peace and customer service gratitude, I'm torn. I don't know what to think. Now, I haven't received mine yet, and the initial reports are that, yeah, the head is still not the best thing in the world, and it's kind of supposed to make up for a bad head on a statue, so you'd think they'd maybe clean it up a bit. But hey, you know what? Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth. They're giving us a mini bust for half price, which if you can take advantage of it and you got the statue, that's a great deal. I know I went ahead and broke down, and I'm taking advantage of the situation and hoping that when my bus arrives, I will be pleasantly surprised and feel good about it. Now, while we wait to see what General Giant has got for us coming up for the next few months, especially as we get into the near Comic-Con announcement time, I did see over at Most Wanted Collectibles, they've got some smoking deals on some mini-busts. So whether the time hasn't been right to pick some of these things up, or you're kind of waiting for some of the prices to fall, they've got some great deals. They've got a New Hope Leia, a New Hope Obi-Wan, the Plo Koon with lightsaber ignited. They've got the Jawa 2-pack, the Dengar Bounty Hunter for all you guys trying to collect your Bounty Hunter minibus. You know another Boba Fett's going to be coming down the line at some point, so let's get the other Bounty Hunters while you can. Jason over at Most Wanted Collectibles has got some great deals. They're just about half price right now, and even if you factor in shipping, you're still getting a kick-ass deal. I don't know how this guy's getting it done, but man, everything I get from him is in superb mint condition, no problems whatsoever. So if you've got an extra, I don't know, $25, you know, just rotting in your pocket, waiting to be spent, definitely head over to Most Wanted Collectibles, check out some of the deals he's got on some of these mini busts and some of his other General Giant statues as well. I'm sure he'd be love to hook you up. They won't last long, so get over there as soon as possible. Make your purchases and let them know that Star Wars Action News sent you. And I mean it. You better get over there fast because, I mean, as soon as I saw those deals, I snatched up a set of those Jawas immediately. It was a deal that was just too good to pass up. Now, last but not least, I want to throw a big thanks out to my wife, Andrea, who, while I was getting the crap kicked out of me by that Bantha crud I got, she went out and got me a little pick-me-up, cheer-me-up. She picked me up the official Funko Star Wars Wacky Wobbler bobblehead of the Gamorrean Guard. And this thing just rocks. So if you definitely haven't been out and checked your Target, go out, take a look at these things. There's definitely worth picking one up to put on your desk at home or work. It'll definitely bring a smile to your face. So get out there and snatch them up. I know I can't live without mine.
Who's your little bobblehead? Who's the little bobblehead?
We'll talk to you all next week. And as always, good hunting.
Who's your little bobblehead?
Thank you, Scott. I did finally break down and buy the Han Solo character key.
Did you?
Yeah.
Lemming.
I now have a complete set of character keys once more.
Yay.
Not in my hot little hand yet, but, you know.
I don't know. They were cool to start with, but now it's like, slow down.
Now, Scott, you did say that you went out and bought the Grievous Starfighter because I was a little cold on the ATAP, the AT-AP.
AT-AP.
If I came off cold on the AT-AP, I really apologize. I like that ship. I like all Imperial walkers.
You were just perplexed by the three legs.
I was perplexed by the three legs. I had a little trouble positioning the three legs. I've since learned on the forums that third leg does retract under. It just kind of curls up.
It's like a little wing.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be deployed in order to add extra stability when shooting the gun. However, I do feel reassured that I'm not the only one who has no clue where these are in Revenge of the Sith. I know where the other ones are with the dead Wookiees that they've released time and time again.
I thought these were the things that were on Felucia when they killed Aayla Secura.
Oh, is that what these are? They're on Felucia. I thought they were on Kashyyyk.
No, that's what these are, correct?
Yes, I think you're right now.
Well, they had the really good sound when they walked. I remember that sound, which I guess would make Ben Burtt really happy, but that sound is very distinct.
But I love walkers, I love the AT-AP, and I don't really care for General Grievous's Starfighter. I opened him up this week. I was happy. I opened him up with full confidence because I was informed on the forums that there were no sticker sheets. It said on the box sticker sheet, but there are no decals on Grievous's Starfighter.
But so he needs some.
I didn't defuse a bomb.
He needs some because it's kind of blah. It's not even gunmetal gray. It's kind of charcoal, but it's like they try to add a little bit of sparkle to it. I'm just really not impressed, and it has a bad paint job. I'm sorry.
I always thought it was supposed to be black from seeing it in the movie. I thought it was just kind of a black ship with some accents, but
I want to point something out to you. Now, kind of use your head here. Look at this part.
The cockpit.
And then look at the, I guess, the nose of it.
Or no, you're the fuselage.
Yes, it looks like Toucan Sam.
All right, if you look at the rear of it, the end does look like Toucan Sam in flight. You are correct, sir. Or just a parrot or any kind
of bird. No, a toucan. with the long nose, not a parrot.
Okay, a toucan.
Toucan Sam. I'm not impressed with this one. It's kind of blah. Now, it has some cool things, though. The sides pop out.
Very difficult to pop out.
Yeah, I was afraid I was going to break it.
Every time I do it, I'm afraid I'm going to break it. It reveals an action feature of a rocket launching projectile.
Which will immediately get lost if you let your child play with it. Or
yes,
Arnie.
Yes. It's already on the sofa and I'm worried.
They're hard to push back in, too. I could see those getting broken really quickly. But it does have the hidden missile projectile.
It's nice that if they're going to add extraneous action features, they hide them so you can have a movie realistic prop or have something that goes and kicks a little butt.
Now, I was disappointed because the fuselage part of it looks like it opens, but it's just the cockpit hinge.
Yeah, the way they painted it, it looks like the engine should pop open and you should be able to store your figures or weapons or something.
But it's kind of weird how the cockpit's done because the cockpit opens up and Grievous can sit in there.
And
or,
I think just about any Grievous would fit in there except maybe exploding Grievous.
You can take out the steering wheel section and he can put a friend down there.
No, that's not for a friend. That's for the bigger Grievous figures.
Oh.
I thought
that's so a friend could go. His friend just couldn't see outside.
No. No, it's...
Well, how long of legs does that other Grievous have, then?
Depending on the figure, they have wide stances.
But taking out the steering wheel is... I'm just going to let it go.
It's just a way to make the figure fit, okay?
Okay.
It has no in-universe thing other than if you're a kid and you have Grievous' Starfighter, you want Grievous to go in. One of the biggest complaints about Hasbro vehicles is figures don't go in. They made a way that it can go in. However, let me tell you, getting that cockpit out is a bear, and I'm afraid I'm going to break it if I do that too often, too. It's a $20 vehicle, and I'm afraid it's
going to
break in many ways.
Yeah, it doesn't feel sturdy, and it's heavier than the others, it seems.
It's no assembly required other than you just open it up to fire the guns. But you take it out of the box and you have a toy. So if you don't feel like putting the toy together, if you buy it for your child, this is the way to go. Let me know how long it lasts in a playroom, though. It also has a gun that attaches to the bottom. I don't know if that's movie accurate or a play feature, but it basically just looks like an X-Wing gun that they made a different base for so it would stick on here. And they painted it or molded it in bronze.
I do rate the breakability of this one as high because it also has landing gear.
That would snap off easily.
Oh, yeah. And you have to push it really hard and pull it really hard. And I think I'm done playing with it because I think I'm going to break it. And if you're not careful, the landing gear kind of collapses on itself. It's really hard to do unless you're setting the ship down.
Yeah, the landing gear doesn't lock into place.
No.
And so if you just kind of exert a little force on the top of the ship, the landing gear collapses in back.
But I'm really disappointed in the paint job of all things because it's kind of splotchy. And it looks like they did some darker black or darker gray accents. But then they had the stenciling on there and it kind of made a ridge. I'm just really not happy with it. And it's kind of blotchy underneath too.
You know, for a $20 vehicle, I think it's fine. I like the fact that it has the retractable landing gear. And now I have something to put in the background of my Obi-Wan and Exploding Grievous figure. It was not complete without this little background piece.
You don't have them out right now.
But when I do, now I have something to put in the background. And now I have something for my pilot Obi-Wan to fly to meet the Tantive. But I do like the AT-AT better than the Grievous' Starfighter. And I think I like both of those better than the Isla Sakura Starfighter I don't even own yet.
I haven't seen it at all.
But from everything I've seen, it's fugly.
Enough with the Starfighters.
And we will be back right after this.
Coming soon, a Venganza Media production.
Comic-pocalypse.
A podcast covering comic books from Peter Parker to Harvey Pekar, from superhero epics to autobiographical graphic novels. Watch comicpocalypse.com, March 31st, 2008.
Last week, I shared with you all a tale of buying some vintage toys from Almond Auctions. I'm happy to report that that has a satisfactory resolution. Almond Auctions has a 10-day inspection period. I hadn't had the item for 10 days, so I've just decided I'm going to return that Death Star playset and try to find one in better condition with a Dianoga and a gun that isn't broken. I understand that a lot of those guns break, but not all of those guns break. And so I returned that, but then last weekend we got a phone call from my father-in-law telling me he saw an ad in the newspaper for Star Wars items for sale.
I don't know why he reads the classifieds every day. I guess
he's old, he reads the classifieds, and he reads the obituaries.
Yeah, you're right.
And I wonder if he listens to the show.
He does have an iPod.
Well, I'm always leery of newspaper ads that say Star Wars collection for sale. There's been several in town, and sometimes it's, well, my son died, and he has this whole collection, and since it's Star Wars, I think it's worth about $1 million. Ma'am, that's from last year. I know. And it's five figures. Yep.
Yeah, that happens a lot. People think they have something Star Wars, and they instantly think they're sending their kids to college on it.
Yeah, you're going to be lucky if you sell an entire action figure collection, especially of modern stuff, and can pay for the refrigerator rental in your son's dorm room. But you were pretty insistent that I call this number. You really, I said yeah, and kind of blew it off, but you just kept calling me and said, did you call them yet?
Because you were a pessimist and I was optimistic.
But you've never been like that on any of the other ads.
Apparently, I'm prophetic. I knew that you would find something on this one.
Okay, dear, you're a prophet.
Thank you.
Well, I did call and I asked what he had, and he said he had a mixture, some vintage, some new, some vintage mint on card. And I wasn't really interested in the new stuff. I am looking for new mint on card stuff, but I wasn't looking to spend a whole lot of money just because somebody placed a newspaper ad. I didn't feel the impetus to rush out and buy an entire modern mock collection. So I said I was kind of interested in the vintage stuff. He's like, well, I got a lot of it. So we made an appointment to go over and take a look at it. So we drove over there, and the house was full of toys.
The guy buys and sells toys. He has bikes, toys, you name it. It looks like he collects just a little bit of everything for himself also.
Transformers, G.I. Joe.
He had an impressive clone army.
He did. Now I know who's getting all the shock troopers in Springfield before I do. In fact, he told me he's there with the Hot Wheels guys every morning before we are.
Yeah, those Hot Wheels guys don't like me.
He doesn't like the Hot Wheels guys.
They are kind of scummy. Not us saying that about general Hot Wheels people, but these guys, kind of gross. And they made fun of me because I didn't know who Dale Earnhardt was.
He had a very large display in his living room there, taking up, I'd say, a third of the living room. It was a donut display case at one point in time.
Yeah, he got it from a convenience store. And he told me the whole story. They took down a yard sale sign of his, and he went in the back to get it out of the trash, and they had all these cabinets laying back there, and he asked if he could have them. They said, sure, we're throwing them out. And so he got this really cool glass case that lights from the top.
And it was full of Ultrarama displays. I've never actually seen an Ultrarama display in somebody's home before. And just a lot of figures, a ton of troop builders. And out on a card table in his living room, he had a vintage collection, and there were three mint on card figures, a All Power of the Force 92 backs, Luke Skywalker in Stormtrooper disguise, Endor Luke Skywalker with poncho, and the Imperial Gunner. And these were all in pretty nice condition, but I didn't think that I'd want to pay the prices. I'd looked on eBay for the Stormtrooper Luke figure, knowing he was one of the more rare ones, and I'd seen him going AFA graded for over $400, not AFA graded I saw going for $300. Now, I had missed the fact that that one was Tri-Logo, and this one, all of these are just Uni-Logo, not Tri-Logo. But I kind of thought that figure was worth quite a bit. And then the guy went into the back and came out with a Warwick Power of the Force Ewok figure. He also had a lot of loose figures. I'd say about half of the figures were complete, and the other half were like my current vintage collection, naked and weaponless.
He did have a lot out there on the table, and we looked at quite a few, and they were okay. I mean, these are back when, you know, the figures had the pantsuits instead of the actual legs underneath their robes. I like the carded figures. They were in really good condition. The bubbles were good. The cards had very little creasing, and nothing had been cut out of them. And he did have them in star cases. The only thing that we were kind of hesitant about is his house had a lot of smoke smell, but he said he doesn't smoke. It was his mother who had been visiting. So that's plausible. And when we got
stuff home, must be a chimney, because that house, I mean, we had to disinfect my clothes because that smoke was in there after I'd left his house that night. But the figures, I've never done this before. I sniffed them. I actually did a sniff test to see if the figure smelled like smoke, and they didn't. He said that he'd had them in storage for a while in a storage unit, and so whoever's doing the smoking, these figures hadn't been around it much.
Now, you left me alone in a house with a strange man.
That's because I didn't know how much to offer. So I called Goth, Kevin, who does our vintage report. I don't buy a whole lot of vintage, but as what happens with this show is we start talking about things more and I get a little more interested in it.
It's very expensive. This show has cost us more money, not from upkeep of the show, but just from Arnie deciding he needs stuff that he talks about. Or someone calls in and says, hey, I got this really cool thing, and you decide you want to start collecting that.
Well, Kevin's vintage segments have really been making me think that vintage is the way to go. Plus, you opened the door, dear, when you bought me Greedo for Valentine's Day.
I know.
You cast the first stone.
But that had a meaning, though.
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't leave you alone. I stepped outside in the rain so I could talk to Goth and find out how much these figures would be worth. And he told me to get a really good deal on the four carded figures, I should get pay $400. The guy wanted almost double that for those four figures. He kept telling me, well, this would be AFA 85. Well, woulda, coulda, shoulda, no AFA grading has happened. You know, I can go out and say this would be AFA 90, but that doesn't mean it is AFA 90. They were in tremendous condition, but I don't know about AFA grading enough to say what they'd be. So we started haggling. He's like, well, what about the loose stuff? What can you give me for the loose stuff? It turned out he needed $500. Because $500 is what he was spending the next day on somebody else's G.I. Joe collection, and he didn't have it, and he needed me to give him $500 that night so he could go buy a Joe collection. I was willing to do $375 for the four figures. That may be more than I was going to pay on eBay, but we're there. I'm taking them home by hand. I see the condition they're in. There's not going to be any damage in the mail. It's not going to get caught in the rain. There's not going to be any surprises when I get home and find, oh no, he didn't tell me about the tear. I know what I'm getting with these. I was willing to go $375. He wouldn't do it. And I looked at the figures he had out on the table. What would you say? He had about 60 loose figures on the table, give or take.
I think it was a little bit more than that. I got up to about 40 just on the table because he had some in a Darth Vader carrying case.
Mm-hmm.
And I was barely halfway through. And I lost count because they were kind of all on top of each other.
Yeah, and some of the figures that have no accessories were bundled together. And he had a lot of multiples. Like, he had 5 of the white Bespin guards and 1 of the black Bespin guards. And then he had 5, I think it was 5, Hoth Hans. I don't know why so many Hoth Hans. And a couple Landos. A lot of repetition in these figures. I told him I'd give him $470 for everything he had on the table, which included, and I didn't realize this at the time, I knew it had an Anakin Skywalker figure from the mail away. I didn't realize that that figure's worth about $20 loose. I didn't know it was that expensive. I was kind of thinking, I don't want a bunch of loose figures. Some of them I don't have at all, so that's good. Some of mine are broken, so they'd replace it. And the complete figures, I have barely any of my old accessories. So any of the complete figures would be an asset to me. The rest, they're a burden. I have to now figure out what to do with them, trade them, sell them, something. So I offered him $470 for the whole thing, and he was not going to take it. And I was walking out the door. And I finally turned back. I said, guy, you have no money for this G.I. Joe guy tomorrow. I'm getting you all but $30 of the way there. And you can go to him and say you're $30 short, or you can go to him and say you're $500 short. And this guy, it looked like he was going to pull out his hair, but he took my offer. Now, I don't know if maybe he's a good actor, and inside he was doing a little happy dance that he talked me up to $470 for this table full of loose figures plus 4 mint on card ones, but we both walked away pretty happy with that deal.
Mm-hmm.
All 4 of the figures are pretty cherry. Warwick is even unpunched, and I'm pretty sure that they're not fake. I'm not an appraiser of these, but there's some yellowing on the bubbles. The figures have no yellowing themselves that I can tell, and I mean, touching them and looking at them, I do not believe these to be inauthentic. Gave it a quick count. There were 89 vintage figures. Most of them in really good shape. Some of the white ones did have some yellowing. What I just don't get is how I can get 3 snowtroopers. One of them, perfectly white, head to toe, front and back. Then I look at the second one, perfectly white torso and head, yellow arms and legs. And I'm thinking, all right, the arms and legs, they're a different kind of rubber, so obviously that's what yellows, but the harder plastic torso and head stay good. Until I find the third snowtrooper, perfectly white arms and legs, completely yellow torso and head. I don't even understand how that happens. I think my favorite figure loose that I got, I don't know why this one I like so much, but I got a vintage Wicket, and it comes with hood and spear. And it's just kind of cute to see little Wicket with the spear. And I think we got a fair deal. I don't think we got the bargain of the century. I think we got a fair deal. We need to order some more of those nice cases from, where do we get them?
WholesaleCases.com.
WholesaleCases.com. And I'll put them in there. And then I think I'm going to start hanging them on the wall around my books, perhaps. Put them up there.
You have room. You're maxed out already now. You're out of wall space, dear. We need to find
something. No, I can take the plushies down and put them up there.
Okay.
Or I can put them up there.
I know.
I'll find a way to hang them.
We need more walls.
But that was my vintage purchase.
Perhaps the oddest part of this adventure was this guy knew who we were.
That was a little weird, and he's not big on the internet. He's got some internet access. He knew who we were because of being in Todd Carlton's Super Collector's Wish Book 4th edition. But that was a little odd when he revealed he knew who we were from all of it.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had a one-of-a-kind collectible that he was telling us about. It's on
the Star Wars Collector's Archive, SWCA.com, Gus Lopez's site. He had an LAD poster made from the re-releases in the 90s, because they made one for A New Hope and Empire, but they didn't make one for Jedi. So he had one made by a local craftsman or store, and then he worked with Lucasfilm to pay for the license for that item so it was actually licensed.
Yeah, the way he told the story is he contacted the folks at Lucas Licensing, said, you made two, you never made a third, asked them to license it, wrote them a check, and now he has the only licensed version, LED version of this poster.
And you can see it on the SWCA.com. It is listed if you go in under posters and then re-release. We'll post a link up to it. He is actually looking to sell it.
He's also looking to sell an actual Graflex replica lightsaber. It's not fully complete yet, but it does have Graflex imprinted on it. It's a custom, obviously, if it's a Graflex. But I have no use for either the LED poster or a Graflex saber. I don't collect either, but if anyone's interested, let me know and maybe I can hook you up or help you out or something. And now we have Steve the Ginger Prince, fresh back from JediCon in Dusseldorf, Germany, to fill us in on what happened there and the good time he had, as well as a little bit of news and a contest.
Greetings, this is Steve the Ginger Prince, Swan's official UK reporter, checking in not with another UK report, but with a real exclusive.
Hello, I'm his wife, Suzanne.
Yeah, I thought I'd drag her along because we enjoyed ourselves so much in London in July last year at Celebration Europe that as soon as we found out there was going to be another convention close to home, this time in Germany, JediCon 2008, The Force is Forever, we jumped at the chance.
You were chomping at the bit, you just could not wait to get to Germany.
And when we did get to Germany, we found ourselves snowbound. It was hailing, snowing, we had all of the weather.
It was freezing!
And as we were freezing, it was lucky that the airport was actually joined to the hotel, and the hotel was joined to the convention centre. Now, the convention centre itself was split up into all the planets of the Star Wars universe, and our first stop was Tatooine for a bit of shopping. Now, in the desert plains of Tatooine were all the JediCon 2008 souvenirs that a boy could want, but most boys were actually there for the Shadow Trooper 2-pack. Now, we were about 4th or 5th in the queue for the Shadow Troopers, trampling on a few German people to actually get there, and when we got to the till, the man said, I'm sorry, you can't have as many as you want, because it's a 2-pack only rule. However, I was able to talk him into the fact that Swan listeners wanted their chance to get a Shadow Trooper 2-pack, and I wangled another one. So, listen carefully at the end of this report. I'm going to tell you how you can get your hands on one of the exclusive Shadow Trooper 2-packs yourself. And even though I didn't buy any of these for myself, because I'm not an EU kind of guy, I must admit they're pretty foxy looking. They're packaged in a cylindrical drum with an embossed lid, and the paint job on these guys is excellent. I mean, they're largely black and grey with a bit of red pauldron, red trimming and a red visor. I must say I like the commander better than the actual trooper himself. The one thing that disturbs me is that most of them seem to have bent guns, and that the guns are this girly layer grey. They're not the black guns you'd expect a Shadow Trooper to have. The artwork on the package is great. I mean, it really is done well. But the figures themselves, they just leave me a little bit cold.
I don't see the point. I don't like them.
But I'm sure that some of you guys on the forums will want the chance to win one of these yourselves rather than buy one through StarWarsShop.com, as they'll obviously be coming available on there soon. Now, the one that I'm offering has got the Jedi-Con sticker on the side, and you can be assured that this was bought in Germany at the con itself. As well as the Shadow Trooper 2-pack, we picked up loads of merch in Tatooine. The first thing I decided I was going to get was the black Jedi-Con t-shirt for the men. It's got a yellow, orange and red flowing Vader head design on the front.
I got the Rancor t-shirt, and I have to say that the Rancor is quite cute, although it does say, never invite a hungry Rancor.
Yeah, this is a cartoon Rancor on a blue background, and it's basically eaten all of the children's party guests. It's chomped the Stormtrooper, Boba Fett, etc. It's really quite a nice t-shirt, although it's definitely a ladies' t-shirt, and we saw lots of blokes wearing this.
Lots of blokes. They looked absolutely ridiculous.
I also picked up the baseball cap, which is way cool. I bought Suzanne the Jedi-Con jacket. We got ourselves a lanyard each, and I even bought a thermo mug.
I have to say, my lanyard was broken, though.
Yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment, but we didn't return it. After Tatooine, we moved on to Corellia, which was another shopping opportunity. It was basically all of the vendors that Germany could muster in one place. Now, there was one convention guest who obviously didn't like the system of taking tokens for their autograph and insisted on cash instead.
Stephen was so excited to meet her.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I've been waiting to meet Orly Shishan for a hell of a long time, and it didn't disappoint. She's quite a lady, I can assure you. I was quite nervous getting her autograph and actually meeting her, as you'll see if you can see the photograph that comes with this report. After the excitement of meeting Orly, we bumped into an old friend, Mr. Steve Sonsweet. We had a 5 or 10 minute chat, and he thanked me for my review of The Vault that I did last year. He talked a lot about his new book, The Complete Star Wars Encyclopedia, and it sounds like an absolute must for all swanlings out there. It really is going to update his previous version of the encyclopedia and be a fantastic addition to any book collector's collection. Also in Corellia, we picked up some various items that we've been after for a long time. Suzanne picked up some Galactic Heroes.
I picked up Boba Fett, and what was the other one called?
It was Dengar, Boba Fett and Dengar Twin Pack. Now, I picked up the Lucas Family set, which has been cheap on StarWarsShop.com recently, and I was really looking to ship it, although the shipping costs were tremendously expensive from the US. However, I got it here for just over €10, which really is a good deal. I also picked up the Rebel Pilots Power of the Force cinema scene pack that I've been after for quite a while. From Corellia, we moved on to Naboo, which was basically an art show showing art from various fans who'd contributed.
There were some fantastic drawings that some of the students had done. They really were brilliant.
Now, of course, my favourite of these was the Ackbar, which Ackbar being my favourite character, it's a great drawing as well. I didn't like the drawings so much. I preferred the dioramas. There were some superb dioramas. Luke and Wampa, the medal ceremony on Yavin 4. Some really great diorama work, much better than I could ever hope to do. I also like the chess set. Someone had improved a chess set with all various pieces. Shizor as the king and all various pieces involved. I particularly like the topless Leia that was on that chess set.
Didn't you just, Stephen?
From the Naboo Art Show, we then moved on to Hoth, which was a fan area. And it was here where we had the most dangerous, exciting part of all the convention. We were going to a fan notice board and we were pinning up some details about Swan to spread the gospel of Swan to all the German attendees. And whilst we were doing so, there was a young double-bladed lightsaber-wielding fan who was spinning and twirling his lightsaber in excitement.
He was actually a fool because he kept dropping it on the floor.
And after he dropped it 2 or 3 times, Then eventually he decided he was going to whack the chandelier above him, sending splinters of glass flying in all directions. Now, some of these splinters of glass actually landed on the back of my neck, and how I wasn't cut, I don't know, but luckily I escaped Hoth without any injury. From the icy plains of Hoth, we moved on to Geonosis, which was the autograph room, and I'm just getting into my autographs nowadays. I'm really picking up autographs that mean something to me. Now, we've got Jeremy Bullock's autograph before. In fact, we've had it twice before, seeing him at Celebration Europe and picking up an autograph at an earlier time. However, this time was special because we weren't just going for an autograph. No, what we were delivering was a mug emblazoned with the Boba Fett avatar that you see on the Swan forums. I asked Cozy's permission beforehand if we could get one of these mugs printed up and give it to Jeremy.
He actually said it was beautiful. He loved it. He really loved it.
And not that he just loved it, but he said that he'd keep it on his desk for the rest of the convention, which he did. He used it as a pen holder. And he also said when he got home, he'd be drinking his tea from it. Very English, very English. Anyway, what a lovely man Jeremy Bullock is. A real hero from the Swan universe. From that, we went on to see Mike Edmonds, who was a last-minute stand-in for Ray Park, who couldn't make it due to filming G.I. Joe or some other nonsense. Anyway, Mike Edmonds decided he was going to give me a lot of jip. He was winding me up completely about the fact that I'm a Man United fan. He said he supported Southend or some lower division team, and he really wanted to wind me up about the fact that I was a Red Devil. Having said that, again, what an absolutely lovely fella Logray was, and he's the first Ewok I've ever met. Well, I suppose you could count Kenny Baker in that, but what an absolute lovely fella Mike Edmonds was, and he signed for me. Now, we didn't get the autograph of Daniel Logan. In fact, we weren't that impressed with him. He came across as, well, let's say, a petulant teenager. However, we did have an interaction with him.
I was stood in the queue waiting for the autograph from Jeremy Bullock and didn't know that there was somebody stood behind me, and I was actually standing in the way of his table where he was going to do his autographs, and he kind of just shoved me out of the way, and I was about to turn around and say something when Stephen said, do you know who you've just been pushed by?
And it was Daniel. He basically rammed a table in at the back of Suzanne's leg and didn't apologise. And from that moment on, we decided he wasn't going to be signing for us. In the evening, we headed to Coruscant, the central system of the Star Wars universe, and the central system for all of the Jedi Con activities. The 2,000-plus seater arena was going to be the venue for all the evening activities and all the daytime presentations. Now, the opening ceremony was absolutely packed out, and after that, we had the pleasure of Mr. Steve Sonsweet from Lucasfilm giving us all the juicy gossip about the future of Star Wars. He made quite a few announcements, so sit back and listen to these exclusives. Firstly, he announced that celebrations will continue after Celebration Japan, which, by the way, Steve assures us is selling very well. There's going to be a celebration every year for the foreseeable future. Now, strong rumours included that Rick McCallum is insisting on a celebration Australia. Also, it seems very, very, very likely that there's going to be a celebration in the US in 2009, with the Midwest a likely location and Chicago being named as a venue. Also, there's going to be another Celebration Europe, of that we can be sure. It seems like, though, it's not going to be in London. It might actually be in Berlin. We also got news on The Force Unleashed. Whoops, sorry, The Force Unleashed. It's definitely going to be released on the 16th of September 2008, and that's a definite release date. We also got news on the new Clone Wars film. It's going to be in cinemas on August the 15th, 2008, with a running time of about 100 minutes. There's going to be the TV series to follow, with 22 episodes in the first season, and that number increasing in each subsequent season. The Young Indiana Jones DVDs are going to be out. We saw the indie trailer on a big screen. The Indiana Jones Lego game looks absolutely fantastic, and the Indiana Jones DVDs for the first three films are going to be out a week before the Crystal Skull release. After all these juicy gossip bits were given to us, we listened to a question and answer session with Steve. Now, he confirmed that the deleted scenes that we're all been after for such a long time are going to be released. It's just a matter of when. He also said that the soundtracks for Episode 2 and Episode 3 are going to be released in their full versions, but that pretty much depends on John Williams and when he decides it's a fit time to do so. Day 2, and we started with breakfast in the VIP lounge. Now, this is largely due to the fact that Suzanne likes to live the high life.
I do like the finer things in life, Stephen, especially if you're going to drag me all the way to Germany.
The important thing about this is that we literally breakfasted with the stars. The actors, the organisers, Steve Sonsweet, everybody who was anybody at JediCon was there. After that, we went down to Coruscant again for a presentation by Mark DeMoule on his trip to Finse in Norway to see the original locations for the filming of Empire Strikes Back. After the talk, we had a chat with Mark about the locations that he visited in Tatooine, because, of course, Swan may make a trip to Tunisia sometime in 2009. We also shared with Mark some of our own location visits to Italy. He's planning on making a visit to Naboo in 2009-2010, so we were able to help him out a little bit by informing him of some of the locations that we'd been to. After speaking with Mark, we saw a presentation by Gus Lopez on the art of movie prop collecting, and this is an interesting area that I particularly like the idea of getting into. After a spot of lunch, we returned to Coruscant for the Star Wars auction hosted by Mr. Steve Sonsweet from Lucasfilm. Now, we were both up for a couple of lots in this auction, and I'm afraid I didn't come out on top.
You're not a loser, Stephen, but I did win a lanyard and a badge and you didn't.
Yeah, she's rubbing it in, because she won the Revenge of the Sith premiere lanyard and badge worn to the Presidio in 2005 by all the stars in attendance. I'm the loser because I was bidding on a piece of the Krayt Dragon from Tunisia, an actual movie prop from Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. I was bidding about the €100 mark, and lost out to someone, and I was particularly gutted because the skeleton that formed the Krayt Dragon was also used in the Disney classic One of Our Dinosaurs Is Missing, also one of my favourite films. It was framed, it was beautiful, and I lost. But I couldn't stay disappointed for long, especially because Saturday night was Star Wars fever. We were treated to an epic show of about 3 hours in length with many, many highlights.
This was my favourite part of the whole weekend. It was fantastic.
I suppose the standout moment was the marriage proposal, something we'd never thought we'd see at a convention.
It was so romantic.
Here's the story. Some bloke obviously decided that this was going to be the opportunity he'd use to get engaged to be married. So, he used the raffle that was being held over the weekend to set up his little story. The host of the event called out the winning raffle ticket number, and everyone in the crowd fumbled furiously to see if their ticket was going to win the grand prize. The person who came forward as the winner was a girl who looked suspicious and a little bit disinterested in whatever the prize was going to be. She made her way to the front stage and stood there in the full glare of about 2,000 people. The host then announced that he wasn't going to give her the prize, but that Darth Vader himself was going to come on at the stage to do that. The Dark Lord of the Sith boomed his way across the stage, and just as he was about to deliver the prize, took off his helmet and revealed himself to be none other than
her boyfriend.
And he used the opportunity of removing his helmet to reveal himself to get down on one knee and propose marriage to his girlfriend. Now, I was secretly having my fingers crossed, hoping that she'd say no.
She said yeah.
And we were treated to about 2 hours of full-on snogging that was really quite inappropriate for a Star Wars event.
Get a room.
The costume competition was fantastic. The individual winner was a Queen Amidala in the red robes with the light-up bulbs at the bottom. She was from Spain. She was absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant. The costume was just unbelievable.
The individual costume performance went to a guy from Turkey who dressed up as a white Darth Revan and performed with different lightsaber crystals using a Force FX construction kit. It was really quite weird and disturbing, but it won the prize nonetheless. Best Family was a German family. The bloke was dressed up as a Wike, which was brilliant. The wife didn't dress as anything, but it was the kids that stole the show.
There was a clone trooper and the cutest Chewbacca costume that you've ever seen. Child must have been about 18 months old. He was absolutely adorable.
But beating this into the ground was the group performance costume. Now, this was two guys who we'd spoken to earlier in the convention, and they actually dressed up as AT-AT legs and then put the body of the AT-AT on top of them and marched across the bottom of the stage. It really was breathtaking. We just couldn't conceive how it would have been done unless we'd been there and seen it ourselves. The show ended with a performance by the Sarlacc Survivors, a group of miming dress characters from Nuremberg. They dressed up in Star Wars costumes and mimed to about five or six hits, some chart hits, some classic hits, some Star Wars related, but they really were fantastic and they got the crowd rocking. My favourite was the Whomper on lead guitar. After the show, we moved on to Morley's Bar, which was the drinking establishment for any Jedi worth his salt at JediCon 2008, and we had a right old time there. Day 3, the final day, and again we breakfasted with the stars in the VIP lounge. We talked to Mike Edmonds, who told us a story about a convention that he'd been to, where he had breakfast with Dave Prowse's Darth Vader and Lou Ferrigno the Hulk, and said that we'd remember this particular breakfast because as he'd breakfasted with Vader and the Hulk, we were breakfasting with himself and Ewok and Boba Fett, Mr. Jeremy Bullock. From our breakfast, we moved on to the 501st presentation, which Steve Sonsweet was co-hosting, and we learnt all about the German garrison and the good work that they were doing. From there, we moved on back out into the fan areas of Alderaan, where we saw the different German fan groups and the R2 builders, of course, in the planet Kamino. We then moved back out into Endor, the large staging area for the convention, talked with many different fans, took a lot of photos of all the people in attendance, and basically tried to get a feeling of how people thought JediCon had gone. We summed up that this was a lot smaller than Celebration Europe, but a lot friendlier. It really had a nice feel to it as a convention, and I've got to be honest, we'd go to this convention again in the drop of a hat. We found out lots of new interesting information, we bought lots of merchandise, and we made a lot of new friends. It really was an experience that we'll remember for a long time. So, what do you have to do to win a Shadow Trooper 2-pack? Well, I'll set up a thread on the forums, and all you have to do is post something, anything, anything at all will do. Just a single post will ensure that you're entered to win the Shadow Trooper 2-pack. Check the forums for more details. So with that, I'll bid you Moge die Macht mit dir sein, or May the Force be with you. And I'll hand back to Arnie and Marjorie.
Thank you for that report, Steve. Celebration 5, possibly Chicago in 09. That would be nice.
I love that rumor. That's my favorite rumor. Chicago is so close.
And a celebration a year somewhere on the globe.
There's our vacation taken care of.
We're still looking into that Tunisia trip.
Once the tensions calm down, possibly?
Yeah, the recent reports of a little terrorist activity, you know. I don't know what the terrorists want with a big busload of Star Wars fans, but...
So how about that Redwood Forest?
Oh, yeah! Naboo, here we come.
Wouldn't it be Endor?
No, I was just thinking we go to Italy instead.
Oh, yeah, okay, that would be fine.
As for the Daniel Logan situation, you know, we've met Daniel Logan many times.
He's usually very charming and very adorable.
He's always gone out of his way to chat with us and be very friendly with us. The very first con we met him at, Celebration 2, he was shy at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was a little overwhelming for him. But at recent cons, we found him to be outgoing and friendly. But you know, sometimes people have a bad day. I'm not saying he was having a bad day. Maybe he doesn't speak German and was getting frustrated. You never know what's happening. I hate to prescribe ill intent because we've met him many times and I've never had any negativity from him at all.
Yeah, it's not typical behavior for him.
No, he did a liner for our show and he always signs autographs and is very friendly and I've chatted with him at interviews.
Perhaps he was cloned.
Ooh, the evil clone. Now we've crossed over from Star Wars into bad soap opera.
Maybe he's a Cylon.
To end with, we have a Hasbro Q&A this week. We have a double dose of questions this week.
We do, and I have to get a promise from you before we start.
What's the promise?
No Jar Jar.
Misa no do the Jar Jar.
Thank you. It's over now. Question one for Hasbro. Hasbro has always said that the kid market is very important to keeping Star Wars toys alive and profitable. George Lucas has said that Jar Jar is the favorite character of children. I don't know who these kids are. So why are Jar Jar figures so irregular to the line? It seems like more Jar Jar figures would appeal to the kids more than Yarna. That's a really good question.
Thank you. I wrote it.
If you got Jar Jar in the brain?
I was just trying to explore the dichotomy between what George Lucas says and what Hasbro does.
Okay. Makes sense. Hasbro's answer was, we are looking for ways to get some love for Jar Jar out there, and around Comic-Con, we should have some new news on what that will be.
Ooh, Hasbro's going to be coming with dirty Jar Jar love.
It's not necessarily going to be dirty.
Well, Jar Jar's a clumsy person. He steps in things. He's often dirty.
Maybe we'll get a Jar Jar Mighty Mug or something.
I'd like to see a Jar Jar with Pudu stepping action.
That would be gross. Question number two. Have any decisions been made about the return of the VOTC line in 09? The Evolutions pack have great figures, but the VOTC retro packaging made that a very popular line for the 6x9 collectors.
And a 6x9, for those who don't know, that's the dimensions of every carded Star Wars figure ever. They're 6 inches wide by 9 inches tall.
So couldn't you just say carded collectors?
Well, no, because carded could apply to comic packs. I referred specifically to the 6x9s. Some people only do 6x9 carded collections.
We admit that with everything going on, we do not have an answer on vintage. Note that we are not calling it VOTC, since when it returns, it'll likely encompass more than just the OTC.
I don't like that.
No.
I want them to stick to redoing the cards they did from back then. It calls back to my childhood. I don't want to see Jar Jar in that line.
No, I think that's wrong, and I don't want to see any EU in there either. We are very passionate about the line as well and are looking for a way to have it return in 09, but we don't want to get hopes up that we will actually be able to get it in. That doesn't sound too promising, but it sounds like they are going to put other things in it.
Yeah, if they do it, it won't just be vintage OTC. I think they felt that they've done all the major characters. I don't know. I want to see more. I want to see...
It'd be cool if they started from the very first figures and...
Death Squad Commander and things like that, you know? Give me my classics. How about the Ewoks? I just bought a vintage Ewok. How about that? You know, there's a lot of vintage possibilities that I'm disappointed. I understand, but I'm disappointed. Our next question. In looking at Star Wars Action News' video from Toy Fair, I noticed an FX lightsaber was in the display room next to the Gentle Giant Yoda monument. Was that a Hasbro FX saber being shown, or was it a Master Replicas item for illustrative purposes? And their response, and I think this is the most definitive response about Hasbro taking over the FX line that I've seen. Since we are not changing anything about the FX sabers, they are one and the same. So the Hasbro FX sabers, exactly the same as the Master Replicas one. They are not making them in plastic, which has been rumored. They are not taking away some of the effects, which had been rumored. They're not cheapening it in any way, which had been rumored. They are the exact same sabers. And so whether you have the Master Replicas one or the Hasbro one, you have the same saber. So completionists, no need to go out and rebuy everything with a Hasbro logo on the box unless you're a box completionist.
Okay, and on the second round of questions.
Want me to take the first one?
Oh yeah, because I can tell you wrote it.
I did not.
Really?
Really.
There's another verbose man out there?
I reworded one from our forums. Our listeners were excited by the news that the mail-away Captain Rex figure would have a fold-out cardboard diorama similar to what the EU figures in the 90s had. Given that playsets are a no-go for now, is there a chance we might see more of these in the future, or more cardboard dioramas similar to the Cantina and Jabba's Palace sets released in the 90s? And then I said, hint, Jedi Council, Galactic Senate, Star Destroyer, and Death Star would be some good ones. And Hasbro said, we are looking at the possibilities for the cardboard medium, but have really just started to think about it. The Rex was more of a one-off with nostalgic ties to vintage expanded universe. The challenge for us is that we want our cardboard to be something more than just flat backdrops. It has gotten us thinking, but nothing specific has sprung out of that yet. So, for those of you who wanted the cardboard dioramas for your figures, that's a big maybe.
The next question. How many new, not re-released Evolution sets are on tap for 08, and are there plans to continue the line in 09? Lots of line in 09s. Their answer was, there are 4 more for the fall, including Padme and 2 Rebel Pilot sets, one of which was shown at Toy Fair, as well as an Imperial Pilot set. In addition, some sets from this spring will be carried forward into fall on the new line look.
They didn't answer the 09 part.
They did not. Absolutely not. They dodged it like a politician.
And the last question from our Mega Hasbro Q&A. As a kid, I loved to look at the back of the Kenner cards to see which figures I wanted to get. The Luke, Obi-Wan Yoda, and 3PO R2-D2 Macquarie figures came with an extra card back. And to clarify the question, because this was from the forums, for those who didn't buy the figure, when you opened the star case, you actually just had a spare card back in there, as well as the carded figure itself. The question continues, had you considered going forward re-releasing as a pack-in, a mail-away, or some other method, a card at the end of the year or line to show off the entire line or year of figures? And they responded, we produce a poster annually at Comic-Con that showcases all of the figures for the year. We're looking to make this poster available at HasbroToyShop.com like we have done for the Galactic Heroes poster this year. So if you want that art, you can get the art, but it's not going to be a card back unless you scan it or photograph it and then make yourself a custom card back. Good questions? Keep the questions for Hasbro coming. Post them in our forums at swactionnews.com. And when we can, we'll answer the questions. For example, Smash DOS Robots had a question. He said that at Toy Fair, we saw that we're getting the Han, Luke, and Chewie from the deleted scene in Return of the Jedi. And he wanted to know what the rationale behind releasing the figures was at this point, thinking that it would make sense to release the figures when that scene had more exposure. For example, when a certain DVD set came out that had deleted scenes from those movies. And he wanted to know if Lucas planned on making the scene more public by adding it to a future DVD release. I'd actually suspected that myself when we were at Toy Fair. And so I talked to one of the Hasbro reps and asked him if there was going to be a DVD re-release in the fall that had these deleted scenes. I kind of suspected that Hasbro might have some advanced knowledge of this, and they might be tipping their hand to a six-pack in the fall, possibly with that Episode 1 CGI Yoda and all the deleted scenes and extras that just weren't on the previous DVD sets. But the truth is, Hasbro, this is what they said, have no knowledge of any DVD releases coming up, but Daryl DePriest, and if you go to any of the cons, you know who Daryl is. If you've gone to any of the talks, Daryl DePriest is the head of the Star Wars line at Hasbro. And more than that, he's a big fan. He loves Star Wars. And what we were told is a lot of times we get figures because Daryl wants them. And there was no bigger champion for Daryl and Willow than Daryl. But it has to make business sense as well as make Daryl happy. And when looking for ways to re-release the iconic characters in a way that hadn't been done before, Daryl wanted the deleted scene figures, and so we're getting them. And it was implied that Daryl also wants Cammy and Fixer from that deleted scene on Tatooine from A New Hope. And it seems like what Daryl wants, Daryl gets, so we may be seeing Cammy and Fixer coming up. But no, Hasbro wouldn't spill the beans on any DVD release this fall. I'm thinking if there's going to be one, it's planned already, and I'm thinking with Clone Wars, there's going to be one. But I couldn't get confirmation of that from Hasbro.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope everyone had a happy Easter. And it's spring! Theoretically, we should not get any more snow, but hey, Mother Nature is a cruel, cruel woman.
And hopefully, Easter Sunday, you sniffed out not the Easter eggs, but the Order 66 packs at Target that are supposed to be released at Easter.
Around Easter.
Yes. We'll be back next week.
Thank Thank you for listening to Star Wars Action News. Star Wars Action News wants to know what you think. Give us your feedback, comment on the show, give us topic suggestions, or just let us know what you're finding in stores. You can call our voicemail at 415-508-JEDI, contact Star Wars Action News on Skype, or send an MP3 recording to show@reviewstarwars.com. All material submitted is subject to use on our show. Now that you've finished the show, head over to our forums at swactionnews.com and discuss the show with other listeners at the most friendly Star Wars community on the internet. And visit swactionnews.com every Monday for a new episode, as well as photos, videos, games, and lots more. Listener support helps make our show better for you. If you enjoyed our show, please help support us by telling others to listen. Post about Star Wars Action News in chat rooms, forums, blogs, MySpace, Facebook, or just tell a friend to come to swactionnews.com and listen. We also appreciate feedback left for us on iTunes, Dig, or any other podcast website, as well as a monthly vote for Star Wars Action News at podcastalley.com. The link to Podcast Alley can be found on our homepage. You can also support Star Wars Action News by using the affiliate links on our homepage when you go Star Wars shopping. Star Wars Action News is hosted and created by Marjorie and Arnie. The Star Wars Action News staff is Jason, the webmaster, Brock, the book club liaison, feature contributors Jacob, Scott, Kevin, and Steve, and our forum admins John, Red5, and John, THX182. The podcast is enhanced for iTunes by Kevin. We'd like to thank our internet friends who support the show: Jedi Temple Archives, Yakface, Watographs, Yoda's News, and many other sites that can be found on the Star Wars Action News homepage. Star Wars Action News is proud to be a member of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Some enhanced podcast images courtesy of Wikipedia.com. Star Wars Action News is copyright 2008, all rights reserved. Star Wars Action News is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or Hasbro. We are just Star Wars fans who spend way too much money. Star Wars and all the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademarked Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. Until next week, may the pegs be stocked and the Force be with you. Star Wars Action News. Now this is podcasting. Star Wars Action News is a production of Venganza Media, Incorporated.
What about Amsterdam? A lot of stuff happens in Amsterdam. What happens in Amsterdam stays in Amsterdam.
Okay, that phrase is so cliched and old. It's got dust and cobwebs on it.
That was a fairly good bald one.
No, it didn't sound anything like him.
Oh.
In fact, I thought you were the Geico insurance guy.
In a world with
that's what you
shadow.
Sounded like.
Man, while we're talking about stuff you obviously can't live without by buying all these repacks and repaints, if you haven't already head over to the Star Wars, if you haven't already headed over to StarWarsShop.com and checked out their bargain bin, and maybe picked up that crap!
Are you trying to do that quietly?
Yeah, I was.
Didn't really work out for you, did
it? Not at all.
See, that's why you went to LAN parties and I went to keg parties. Worked out well.
Hey, I went to keg parties. I sold all my Star Wars stuff for a keg one time.
At the LAN party?
No.
Oh.
I was gaming alone in college. There were no LAN parties in college. That was before LAN.
Oh.
There were no LAN games back then.
Okay.
It was modem. It was 14.4 and we liked it.